From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Raymond Carr was raised by Christian clowns. Yep, you heard that right. Christian clowns.
It's pretty much what it sounds like. My parents were performing and ministering for churches that we grew up in, and we would travel around. And one of their aspects to entertain children and to draw them in was dressing up as clowns. It's all, you know, trying to keep the kids in the seats and, you know, as the adults went on for hours and hours above us. So,
how'd you travel?
At a giant pink bus that had clowns. No, it was just in a
in a little Volkswagen.
Yeah, exactly. In a tiny, tiny car that fit all of us in there. No, it was just by plane or driving.
Did you grow up thinking, this is great, I love this life? Or did you think, no way am I going to do puppets?
Yeah, you know, much like any kid, you don't realize how weird your situation is until someone tells you it is. So being homeschooled kind of helped insulate me from that a bit. And then by the time I was older, it was too late to turn back, I guess.
You could say that Raymond Carr went into the family business, and now he's thriving. He visited the GPB studio recently, and I talked with him about the prestigious Center for Puppetry Arts in Atlanta, where as a teenager, he overdosed on pizza and cake while performing for kids' birthday parties. He also worked on experimental productions there and now creates things that stretch the limits of puppetry. Tiny worlds and characters for music videos and films, and building large-scale animatronic dinosaurs. His company, Ninja Puppet Productions, has produced award-winning shorts and shows and worked for companies like Dropbox and the Georgia Aquarium. And it's not all kid stuff.
I'm an adult. Maybe that's obvious. But I've been performing for adults as well for a long time, and that's what I love to do. I mean, I'm certainly not just the children's performer, and you know, that's something that's resonates through, I think, most puppeteers, is they have a drive to explore adult ideas and themes through puppetry as well.
Raymond is one of few accomplished African-American puppeteers. He got his big break as an understudy for the role of Pixel in Nickelodeon's LazyTown show.
It's a
Now Raymond plays Dunk the Pufferfish on the Jim Henson Company show Splash and Bubbles. A lot has happened in between. Plenty of successes and a few fails.
Yeah, I had a couple of those. You know, I think the way that, at least with the avant-garde arts, failure is has a much broader term, because there's certain things in the performance where I am trying to convey an idea behind this show, or I'm trying to like make people laugh or make people cry or like just have some sort of theme. And those themes weren't connecting with the audience. And yeah, it may have been an interesting show, or it may have, you know, not run out in fear or terror, but it's, for me, there was like, oh, they didn't get what I was trying to do. So that was like a failure on that level, less than like the stage falling down or lights exploding or something.
None of the slapstick failures.
Yeah, it was not quite Noises Off, although I think I probably have been in a few shows like that. But
do you think artists learn more from their successes or from their failures? Or how about you, speaking for everybody?
Yeah, I don't know if I respond well to positive feedback. I need a nice kick in the butt every now and again to get me going. So a failure usually does that.
You worked also in animatronics with this other production, Walking with Dinosaurs, mm-hmm. creating large-scale animatronic puppets. But could you explain just what animatronics is?
Right. So, I mean, animatronics is, I could really geek out and go deep dive, but it was
how about medium geek?
Okay, medium deep dive. medium geek out. So, animatronics is just a catch-all term for animated robots. So, everything from, you know, Hall of Presidents at Disney World to creatures in Star Wars, all of these things are essentially just puppets that are operated generally remotely with some sort of sophisticated cable-driven interface or machinery. So yeah, that's basically what it is. So it's a pretty broad term.
So if we were, you know, watching, you did dinosaurs, mm-hmm. right? If we were watching Jurassic Park, are those dinosaurs animatronic?
Some of them are. You know, they really, certainly the original Jurassic Park, yes. And there was some CG, obviously. And now they've gotten really, really good at blending the two so well that at times even I can't tell what is CG and what is practical. And sometimes they blend the two. Sometimes it'll be like, the eyes will blink and that's CG, but the body is a practical puppet and things of that nature.
So if you are working on a character that is a puppet in like a CG movie or mm-hmm. production, what is that like? I mean, you were talking about the kind of high wire act of doing something live in front of an audience, but suddenly you're working with something not in real time in a green screen.
It really depends on the level of imagination that you're required to do. Oftentimes, you know, we'll be performing and the thing that is CG is the background. So it's just you're in front of a green screen, but you know, other performers are right next to you. So that's less of a thing. But there is certainly a suspension of disbelief that you have to embrace, knowing that it's going to look different on the other end of the screen. So. But oftentimes what's great about these animatronic creatures is the fact that they do look so real that if you're working with a real performer, they're the ones who are touching the creature and like interacting with it. So it's so much more fun and better for the performance as opposed to just standing in front of a blue ping pong ball.
Have you actually ever been inside of one of those creatures as a puppeteer?
I have.
That's what you do.
Definitely. I've done some stuff for Cartoon Network and various other productions where I've been inside. I rarely am inside of it, but I do that. Yeah.
How about the Walking with Dinosaurs production?
So Walking with Dinosaurs was a live show that's back on tour now, actually, in Europe. And it's life-size animatronic dinosaurs that took three people to operate, one in the base, one operating the face, and one operating the body. And they would roam around these arenas. We played like the Phillips Arena and Madison Square Garden and Staples Center. So big arenas. Except we would operate the puppets about 100 yards away, like where you would see like the sound booth or something like that, far, far, far away. And so you had to rely on the blocking of the show and your rehearsal and what visual cues you had and your other teammates to really make it come to life.
And you were head of puppetry for that show,
We called ourselves the voodoo puppeteers because we operated remotely like a voodoo doll. So I was head of voodoo puppetry for about 2 years.
But that's a huge production. Yeah. What was that like? I mean, $20 million production, what I read.
Right. Yeah. No, it was about $20 million. We traveled with 75 people and 25 semi-trucks. We were the fourth largest touring the show in the world at the time that I was on it. I don't know what it is now. But the show was amazing. It's to this day, like audience reactions when the T-Rex comes out and roars in their faces, and the sounds would come from the dinosaurs. The Brachiosaurus is 40 feet tall. The audience would just freak out. Nothing like it. And so like was a lesson in spectacle, I think, for me. It's like really showing that people aren't jaded enough they can still be affected by theater and spectacle.
When you collaborated on a short film there called Monster Guard, it's this reclusive Icelandic man in a cabin kind of trying to stave off the demons of his past. And you can actually hear them. But the sound is mostly whirling wind outside and silence. This theme of isolation that I see in some of these works that you've done, you know, like there's this character, Saren, in another short, was called Wild in the Wind, kind of drowning in her own self-destructive behavior, right? And she's in communication with this kind of grotesque, gelatinous being named Wick. And she lashes out at him as he tries to help her.
Forgive me. You need to forgive me. I mean, you just started taking breath a couple of weeks ago, and now you're handing out forgiveness? God, who do you think you are?
So what are you exploring here? I mean, thoughts and memories or conscience given form?
It's certainly not really like memories outside of the abstraction. You know, I'm really interested in like role reversals. Specifically, like with stuff like both of those pieces, actually, the monster or the creature or the bad guy, it may look grotesque and weird and all those things, and yet we suddenly realize that that is not the real monster. The real monster is the person or the emotions that they're dealing with, and all these other kinds of esoteric, artsy-fartsy explanations. But yeah, I like the idea of, and that's one thing that puppetry can give you, is because you walk into seeing a monster and you have your expectations set a certain way, and then by the end of it, it's flipped on its head. And, you know, Jim Henson did this a lot too. I mean, the Sesame Street creatures were referred to as monsters, you know. So he definitely has that sense of just getting you to look at something in a different way.
And he used some, I'm going to say, Henson-esque puppets for a music video. You've made a couple of them, actually, mm-hmm. not so Henson-esque, but Atlanta-based chamber pop band Little Tybee, mm-hmm. and a sort of Muppet-like creatures for the heavy metal band Mastodon.
Yes.
So what's the process of turning a song into a visual story?
You know, that was a lot of fun. That was in production with the Cartoon Network. And the music video is called Deathbound, and it's it was actually their idea. Like, they came to us with the idea, which was like, and you know, a lot of times you get these pitches where it's like Sesame Street, but it's for adults. Get it? And you just hear that a lot. And so this was like, it's like Mr. Rogers, but it's for adults. And at first I was like, all right, whatever. But we went in there and just made it crazy. We had dozens and dozens of puppets in this giant landscape that was Storyland, just exploding and fighting and just causing chaos and mayhem. And we had so much to shoot in such a little time that we were just like literally throwing puppets around, getting smoke machines. And then there's a castle that explodes at the end and I'm running away with it in the puppet. It was just an air explosion, but still there was quite violent, but that was a lot of fun.
It's rock and roll. Let's hear.
It's definitely rock and roll.
Hi, kids. Today we're going to talk about the solar eclipse. You see, the solar eclipse is when the moon passes in between the Earth and the sun. It looks like this. Sometimes it can have a strange effect on people and makes them do things they normally wouldn't do. Oh, hey, Bells. Gee, I hope our friends in Magic Land are doing okay.
That, of course, is the beginning of the Deathbound video for Mastodon.
Yes.
But it is a play on Mr. Rogers, mm-hmm. the little trolley mm-hmm. going through. Did you watch that show?
Of course, yeah. Yeah, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was, yeah, very influential.
Well, it's completely low tech, which is so funny. I mean, he played all of the puppets. But did you see the film Won't You Be My Neighbor?
I did.
The documentary?
I did see Won't You Be My Neighbor, actually, at the Atlanta Film Festival.
It was such a beautiful film. I just saw
it. I mean, just from the opening sequence, there was just ugly crying throughout the entire audience. Like, you could just hear sniffling as the soundtrack. It was so intense and beautiful. It was so beautiful.
Well, one of the interesting things there is, I kept forgotten the woman's name, but she was worked on the production, and she said that Fred Rogers used puppets to say things that he couldn't. I mean, I'm not just saying, you know, the lesson du jour, you know, the sort of anti-war message or love people,
yeah, sure.
but as a mask. Mm-hmm. Is that true for you?
I think it's more, I generally don't have a whole lot of trouble not having trouble saying things. But I think it is kind of a way to articulate and have people, you can say things all day long. We hear it all the time. You're on the radio and you can talk all day long, but sometimes just saying the thing isn't the best way to communicate the idea. Sometimes communicating an idea more effectively is through another means, which is visual, which is metaphor, which is satire, all these things that puppetry do so well. So it's less, I think, for me specifically about not being able to say things, and this is enables me to do that, and more so just communicating something more effectively with puppetry.
My guest today is Atlanta-based puppeteer Raymond Carr, but that's obviously kind of a limiting title for the work that you've done, Raymond. He plays Dunk the Pufferfish on the Jim Henson Company's new PBS show, Splash and Bubbles. So we've talked about making music visible, creating monsters, a lot of different hats. Is there a favorite aspect of this for you?
You know, I find that I have creative ADD, so if I'm not doing one thing, I'd want to be doing the other. Yeah, it just keeps me interested in all those things. And honestly, it doesn't, for me, there's a symmetry that goes along with all of it, and it does, and it sounds a lot like a lot of different things, but it's all very similar in the actual techniques of creating something, bring it to life.
You mean your process of just sort of thinking something through?
Right.
How do you do that? I mean, obviously that's a big process, but are you one of those, like, I've got to be, you know, at my desk every morning at X o'clock, or?
I would like to say that. I just bought an elliptical machine, so that's helping me in my office. If I'm not on a job, I try and keep as much of a schedule as possible. I'm doing a lot of writing right now and developing different projects, so I have to maintain. I can't just, you know, wake up at noon and then go to a coffee shop and write. I got to try and be productive. But for the most part, it has a lot to do with, if I'm in the creative mindset, my eyes are constantly looking for something. I'm looking for an object, an image, a sound, a clip, and I will write stuff down. I'll record something on my phone, anything to try and solve the problem of that creative formula.
That's Atlanta puppeteer Raymond Carr. He plays Dunk on the PBS television show Splash and Bubbles. His company, Ninja Puppet Productions, is currently crowdfunding for a new sci-fi movie called Joyride. It features three kids from the inner city who stumble upon a dying alien who gives them power to fly a spaceship. There's more information at our website, gpbnews.org. Stay with us. We'll hear from an author and photographer about her book highlighting the strength and sensitivity of boyhood. I'm Virginia Prescott, and this is On Second Thought.